during that last conversation with him. And if we think about the things that really matter to someone, that's often what they would be sharing during that last conversation. And so Jesus is taking the opportunity to speak to his disciples and to impart to them the things that are really on his heart. So as we are invited to become unmistakably like him as part of the vision that God has given us, we just get this opportunity to spend some time in these chapters and to explore some of the aspects of what it might look like to be becoming more like Jesus. All right. So we live in a world where there's a lot of different ways that people use power and authority. But most of them are around using power and authority to get or keep what we want. So using authority to get or keep what we want might look like starting a war. It might look like modern slavery. I was looking at a website this morning suggesting that the estimates of modern slavery are about 40 million people. Includes things like human trafficking, sexual trafficking, migrant exploitation, child labour, forced marriages. Using power or authority unhealthily might also look like things like domestic violence, family violence. It might look like things that happen with people who have authority and use it incorrectly. Corruption, abuse of authority, political, we've seen it in government, we've seen it in the church, we've seen it in business, using authority in ways that are destructive, that are selfish, that are self-serving. We see it in everyday life, in the schoolyard, in relationships. It looks like bullying or control or manipulation. Lots and lots of ways in which human beings serve ourselves with the authority, the power, or the influence or privilege that we have. Jesus of Nazareth had a different way to use power, authority. And he taught and demonstrated it to his disciples and to us who want to be his followers. Our invitation is to become unmistakably like him. And as we become like him, it will challenge the way that we use our authority, our power, how we live with it and what we do, who we serve with it, in our relationships, in our family, in our workplaces, in our church life. Throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus had a lot to say about using authority. This is one of the things that he said to his disciples. He said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." So now, as he's having his last meal with his disciples, Jesus teaches this same truth again. And he not only teaches it, he models it. It's one of those things as a teacher, you get to find out if your learners have actually learnt it. So Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples and he gets to find out whether his disciples have actually learnt that principle. Is anybody going to do the job of a servant and wash people's feet? Have any of his disciples got it? Have they picked it up? Have they learnt it? Oh, no. Nobody's got it. Oh, okay, that must have been a bit disappointing. His disciples still didn't have it. So we read what Jesus does from John chapter 13. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He'd loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he'd come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. If we go on to verse 12, it says, "After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. Since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them.'" So if we go back to that first section, thanks, Nigel, I want to ask you to take a moment and just look at that passage. Then I'm going to invite you to turn to somebody near you, maybe twos or threes. And just as you consider that passage, allow the Holy Spirit to draw something to your attention. What stands out to you as you look at that passage? Take a moment. Then turn to someone. Don't talk about the weather. Just share what has been drawn to your attention. If you need to just move somewhere to find someone you can chat to, just do that. I'll give you a couple of minutes. What are some things that you noticed? Just call them out. What? Humble? Okay, whoever wants to be a leader needs to be a servant. Upside down to the world. Upside down to how the world does it. We're meant to be different. Not just servants, but slaves. Whoa. That's another level. All right. We go back to the passage from John 13. Just wanted to share a couple of things that I noticed from this passage and from this incident in Jesus' life. And the first was that Jesus was secure in his identity and mission. We told here, Jesus got up from the table. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he'd come from God and would return to God. There's a slide, a couple of slides on. Thanks, Nigel. That's it. Beautiful. Knowing his identity and mission was a huge part of what allowed Jesus to do what he did with his disciples. He knew he was coming from God. He had come from God. He knew he was going to God, and he knew that all authority had been given to him. And so because he knew who he was, he could afford to invite followers. He didn't need to bully them. He didn't need to control them. He didn't need to harass them. He only needed to invite them. And that's the level of invitation that can come. That's the level of serving that can come when we know who we are and what we're called to do and be. Just an illustration of this. I was talking to my niece recently, and she's a casual teacher, works around the Newcastle area. She's a high school teacher. And she was telling me that she was in class one day and the kids were being particularly feral. She'd been trying to teach them something, and she was not being very successful. And so she stopped teaching. She went and sat down and she put her feet up. And she said to them, "Do you know how much I get paid when you don't do your work?" And the kids stopped what they were doing and said, "No." And she said, "I get paid exactly the same as I do if you're doing your work. So, hey, if you're choosing not to do your work, the only people who are getting hurt by that are you." You see, she knew who she was. She knew her place. She knew she was going to get paid, whether they worked or not. So she was able to let go that need of control and put the responsibility back where it was. And you see, when we actually know who we are, we can afford to hold things lightly and not need to have that control over people that so often leads us to abuse of power or the wrong use of our authority. And Jesus demonstrated right throughout his whole ministry that he was secure in his authority and in the mission that God had given to him. Second thing I noticed from that story was that Jesus got up from the table. Now that might not seem like a big thing, but he saw what was needed. He saw what needed to be done. He was conscious of the needs of the people around him. And he was willing to step beyond his own comfort and convenience. Who wants to get up and be the person who goes and does the job? Like, we all like the comfort and convenience of not having to do stuff. But there's something costly about choosing servanthood. And for Jesus, it actually meant getting up, going and doing something beyond comfort and convenience. I love that our mission, our vision statement says going out of our way, because we can all do things that are convenient. But the life or the invitation of servanthood, of becoming unmistakably like Jesus, is the invitation to go out of our way, the invitation to go beyond, the invitation to get up from the table, even when it's way more comfortable to stay sitting there. A third thing I noticed, Jesus took off his robe. He laid aside what was his. Jesus wasn't focused on what was rightly his, what was rightly his position, what he had, what he should have deserved as the teacher, as the rabbi, as the master. He wasn't focused on his rights. He wasn't entitled. And nor was he consumed with outrage at the fact that someone sitting at the table and eating the bread that he was sharing was actually going to betray him. His focus was not on, "Whoa, the poor me, that I'm just about to go to the cross." All of those things would have consumed me. If I knew I was about to have an incredibly painful death, an unjust death, and that somebody who was betraying me was sitting there at my table, there's no way I would have been focused on others. I would have been feeling sorry for myself. But Jesus actually put aside